Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In one of his letters, the letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul expresses one of the continuing frustrations that Christians face in our spiritual lives. He writes, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. I have the desire to do what is right, but I cannot carry it out. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death?" And similarly, an unknown Christian hymn writer, sometimes attributed to be Martin Luther, expresses also this same common experience of all Christians in this hymn. "I know that often when I strive to keep a spark of love alive for you, the powers within leap up in unsubmissive might and oft benumb my sense of right and pull me back to sin." In moments of such discouragement with ourselves, we need to remember that we are disciples, which means learners, students. Learning is a slow process with many disappointing setbacks, a lot of review and correction that is needed. Consider Jesus' experience with the disciples that he personally selected and trained. How frequently, just as in the hymn verse we just heard, their powers within, their sinful nature, leapt up in unsubmissive might and pulled them back to sin and doubt and fear. And we have a very vivid instance, an example of that in our sermon text from Matthew chapter 14. Just a few hours before the events that we read about in our text, all of Jesus' disciples had just witnessed the miraculous feeding by him of thousands of people from just a small amount of food that they have received, five small loaves of bread and two fish that they had received from a boy or young man in that crowd. The disciples themselves had distributed that miraculously multiplied food, and they had seen all of the thousands of people there eat till they were content and full, and then still they collected 12 baskets full of leftovers at the end. But now, just several short hours later, when another emergency arose, in Mark's gospel account of this event, Mark tells us that the disciples were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Now, lest we make the same mistake, let our sermon text for today teach us to trust God even when all seems lost. The first verse of our text might sound a bit strange. "Then Jesus urged the disciples to get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd." Why was Jesus practically forcing his disciples to leave before he dismissed the rest of the people who had just eaten their fill from the miraculously multiplied loaves of bread and fish? Well, in the Apostle John's account of this event, he gives us a clue. In John chapter 6, he writes about the crowd, or about Jesus in reference to the crowd, "Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the hills by himself." Jesus must have recognized that his disciples were not yet strong enough in their faith or correct in their understanding of what exactly he came to do and to accomplish of his mission as the Savior. Jesus knew that they might well have agreed with the rest of the crowd that wanted to make Jesus a king so that he could miraculously provide food for them every day, a bread king, so to speak. And so to avoid putting his disciples in that position of temptation, Jesus sent them out under the Sea of Galilee, and then he dismissed the rest of the people by land. And our sermon text continues, "After he had dismissed the crowd, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. Jesus no doubt prayed for that large multitude that he had just dismissed, but especially we can be sure he prayed for each of his beloved closest 12 disciples. He saw how weak they still were in their faith and in their trust in God and in him as the Savior. 2 years now of his public ministry was over, and only one more year was left. Next year at that time, Jesus would be arrested and crucified, and so he knew that those disciples would face that severe test of their faith, and he knew that also that very night when their faith was tested by the storm, that it would fail, at least temporarily. The sad thing with Jesus' disciples was that they did not recognize their spiritual weakness of faith, their danger of falling, as accurately as Jesus recognized it. And we must be honest with ourselves, neither do we recognize that danger for ourselves and our own faith lives. The Apostle Paul writes this warning in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." Yet so often in our lives we go carelessly on our way, confident that we can meet any crisis or emergency and face any kind of loss courageously. But Jesus knows us as he knew his own 12 disciples, and he does for us also in our lives what he did for his disciples that night. Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father, and he intercedes for us. He is praying specifically for each one of us, for the circumstances in each of our lives, and for the challenges and difficulties that we face, for the weaknesses that we have in our trust in him. The writer to the Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 7 about Jesus. He always lives to make intercession for us, to pray for us to God the Father. In spite of Jesus' disciples' disappointing, faltering trust, Jesus still loved them. He would not let them become victims of their own doubts and fears and unbelief. They were his dear sheep, and he would let no one snatch them out of his hand. What he said much later on to the Apostle Peter also applies to all of his disciples. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has asked to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail." This is the comfort that is also ours. After the Apostle Paul's expression of frustration with his own weakness and tendency to sin, at the end still he exclaims triumphantly, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Yes, we despair of ourselves. We are weak. We fall into sin. But thanks be to God, he has sent his Son Jesus to take our place, to take our punishment, to take away our sin. The Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 2, "If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world." That is the basis for our trust in God, even when all seems lost. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, "God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them. And he has trusted to us the message of reconciliation." It is an absolute fact that in Christ, God loves us as his own dear children. And he promises, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And so we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid." But as courageously as we may declare that from now on we will not be afraid because God loves us in Christ Jesus our Savior, Yet still, so easily, we are overwhelmed by fear when dangers and troubles rise around us. Again, look at the disciples in our text. They had just been with Jesus and had witnessed his miraculous power in feeding those thousands of people. Yet here, out on the raging sea with the wind against them, they were once again overwhelmed by fear. Jesus had finished his prayer session with God, and our text tells us that in the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., Jesus came to them walking on the sea. The waves were too high for the disciples, even in their boat, but they were not too high or too rough for Jesus to walk on them. Jesus knew the disciples' need, and he was on his way to help. Unfortunately, the disciples were so thoroughly frightened by the storm that it appears that they didn't immediately recognize Jesus, even when he was near enough physically that they could see him. Matthew, who was in the boat and who personally saw and experienced all of this, tells us in our gospel reading, Matthew chapter 14, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. Instead of shouting for joy at the sight of Jesus walking toward them, they imagined that this was some kind of ghostly apparition that would only make their trouble worse. How often haven't we felt the same? Jesus was approaching with his help, perhaps through an illness or an operation or some other plan for our good in his grace and mercy. But we didn't recognize him. We didn't recognize his good purpose for us in that moment. And instead, we became fearful, we panicked, maybe even gave in to despair. Instead of praising him for being on the way with his loving help and mercy and grace, we instead cried out in fear, assuming that our trouble was only increasing. Only one thing can give us assurance of Jesus' presence and silence our fears, and that is his comforting word. The disciples heard Jesus' word. Over all the noise of the waves and the wind, they heard Jesus calling to them, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." They knew that reassuring voice, and they needed nothing more. Even though the storm had not yet subsided, the disciples were certain now that they heard Jesus' voice that all would be well with them because they had heard Jesus speak to them. Every Christian pastor, and probably very many of you, can testify from personal experience the powerful effect of God's word. It truly is, as the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 1, the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Think about how many fear-filled hearts crying out in anguish and anxiety on sickbeds and deathbeds or after tragedy of fire or accident have been calmed and comforted by God's precious word. It truly is, as the psalmist writes, sweeter than honey to my taste in such moments of doubt and desperation. Then we read that one of the disciples, Peter, the often rash and impetuous one, was so overjoyed when he heard the voice of Jesus that he asked Jesus for a special privilege. He wanted to leave the boat and walk out to Jesus on the surface of those rough and raging seas. And Jesus told him, "Come." And at first, all went well because Peter was walking in a spirit of humble trust in Jesus. As we think about that, we realize how remarkable it is what God enables a believer in Jesus to do when we forget about all the problems and dangers around us and walk in simple faith with our eyes on Jesus, our Savior. And in that spirit, Peter began his walk on the water toward Jesus, but it didn't last very long. Suddenly, he was distracted again by how rough the raging seas around him really were, and then fright took the place of faith in his heart. He was looking so intensely at the problem just as we so often do in our lives, and not trusting enough in the solution that Jesus provided. And there, Peter faced a situation where again, all seemed lost as he was sinking into the raging seas. Beginning to sink, Peter cried in complete desperation, "Lord, save me!" If Peter would have drowned in that instant, he could not have blamed anyone but himself for his weakness of faith. Too often the situations in which it seems all is lost in our lives are of our own making. In foolhardy fashion, we often try to go it alone. We plunge into positions of danger without sufficient forethought and consideration. We may even do it as Peter did here in our text at a time of special religious enthusiasm, feeling that God is on our side and we can do anything, and then we make rash and foolhardy decisions. But then when difficulties arise and insurmountable problems face us, we feel the foundations crumbling beneath our feet, and we see ourselves drowning in our frustrations and our fears. But at such times, blessed are we if we have the humility to admit our weakness and enough trust in Jesus to cry out to him as Peter did, "Lord, save me." And he assures us that he has already saved us from all of our sins, and he promises that he will save us from everything else that rises to tear us away from him. Our text tells us that in response to Peter's plea, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" That is the personal interest that Jesus takes in all of his disciples. The prophet Isaiah wrote, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." Peter, in that moment, needed this humbling but also faith-strengthening personal encounter with Jesus. It not only led him to stronger trust in Jesus, but our text also tells us that all those in the boat, all the disciples, worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." As we reflect on these events from our gospel reading today, has our conviction and trust in Jesus been strengthened through sharing this harrowing night at sea with Jesus' disciples? Will our trust be firm in him the next time we face a situation in our life where all seems lost? Remember, we are disciples. We are learners. But just like Jesus' disciples, step by step, we are led to better understand the constant presence of Jesus in our lives and his outstretched hand to personally rescue us as he speaks words of comfort and assurance of his salvation to us through his word. After we conclude the sermon this morning, we'll sing together these following verses written by the hymn writer William Cowper, who himself in his life had severe personal problems, yet in faith and trust in God, he wrote these words: "God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the sea and rides upon the storm. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and will break in blessing on your head." Amen.